Go to work. Read your Bible. Feed the kids, clean the house, exercise, attend PTO meetings, serve at church, support your spouse. Feeling swamped? This edition of Inside Lifeway is for you. Welcome to Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. I'm your host, Brooklyn Knoll. The epidemic of busyness seems to infect a growing number of Christians every day. A recent survey revealed that 60% of believers allow the busyness of life to hinder the development of their relationship with God. That maybe isn't as surprising a statistic when you consider that more than 50% of Christians say they are usually exhausted at the end of the day. It seems busyness is a problem many people struggle with, and Lifeway recently released a study designed to help. The study is called Freedom from Busyness, Biblical Help for Overloaded People. And author Mike Zigarelli is visiting the Inside Lifeway studio today to discuss the resource. Mike is a husband, a father of four young children, a professor, a magazine editor, an author, a small business owner, a sought-after expert on management and ethics, and, until recently, a university dean. Clearly, he is also an authority on busyness and its many facets. Welcome, Mike. Thank you for joining me today.
Privileged to be here, Brooklyn. Thanks very much.
Well, let's just jump right in and start with, since we're talking about busyness, the obvious question is, with your extensive list of commitments, where in the world did you find time to write a study?
Well, I made the time, actually. Priorities are what we do. You know, and if I wanted to write this book, or I believe God wanted me to write this book, I just had to move things around in my life so that I'd have the time to do that. And admittedly, I wrote most of it between 4:30 and 6:30 in the morning.
Goodness.
So I guess one of the things that became a lower priority was sleep. But when you have four young kids, sleep becomes sort of irrelevant. You learn that you can live on less sleep anyway. So I just continued in that.
Now, I said until recently you were a university dean. When you wrote this study, you were a dean. The study had something to do with the change, I assume?
Well, a little bit. One of the things I learned in writing Freedom from Busyness and in just trying to hear from God on this topic of overload and overextension is that I needed to not just be writing about this stuff, I needed to be living it. I needed to be living a simpler life. I needed to be focusing on the priorities of God and family before work. And with all the things going on in my life, you know, there was just too much happening. And to simplify, I needed to step off the fast track. You know, I think I was on the road to becoming a university president, and as nice as that would have been, and it would have been great to be in a position of influence like that, I think that too many other things were being compromised. And so I took my own advice, and I stepped off of that fast track, and I took a cut in pay, and I went back to kind of the good life of a university professor, and it's really quite wonderful.
So no regrets?
Not one. Not a single regret. I mean, it's a little harder to pay the bills. So, you know, ask me at the end of the month again. But for the most part, where it matters most, there's not a single regret.
Wow. Well, along those lines, then, what is the purpose of this Freedom from Busyness study? What do you hope people walk away understanding?
Well, I guess mostly that a lot of our busyness and overload and overextension is a choice. Not everybody chooses a busy lifestyle. Sometimes it just happens to them. You know, you have a couple of young kids and, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom and you got a million things to do, and or you're a career mom and you're trying to do these two things at the same time. And there are some seasons of life that we're not choosing the busyness. You know, it's just sort of choosing us. But most people that I've met that are overextended, it's by choice, whether they realize it or not. They're selecting too many activities for their kids to do or for themselves to do. They're selecting too many hours of work. They're choosing a kind of job that requires way too much of them. And if they wanted to be less busy, if they wanted their life to be less stressed and more relaxed and more simple, it could be. They might have to adjust a few things. They may have to take a new job. They may have to buy fewer things. They may have to move to a smaller house in a different area of town or whatever. But if overextension is really undermining your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with the people who matter most, and if it's undermining your relationship with God, well, you need to do something about it. You need to take some major surgery in your life And that may require doing some things that seem radical. And that's one of the things I'd like them to take away is the ability to look honestly at their life and whether they've actually chosen a lifestyle of overextension.
You've mentioned a couple of times priorities. Is that really what busyness is all about, is organizing your priorities?
To some extent, it is. I think that sometimes we're busy not just because we have things misaligned, mm-hmm. but because we derive so much of our self-worth from accomplishments. That's one of the reasons people work too much, for example. That's one of the reasons, you know, women try to be super mom, is because a lot of their self-worth comes from just being known as the super mom or having that kind of image. So there's more to it than just selecting the product. It runs deeper than that.
Well, then how is your study designed to help people understand that and really get a grip on their lives and their busyness?
First of all, it's designed to be easy to do if you're busy.
Right.
It's kind of weird writing a book for busy people because the target market doesn't have time to read the book. Mm-hmm. So we've made the daily studies really short. You can do it in under 10 minutes most of the time. And also we've structured it so that if you don't have time to read, you can just listen to the CD that comes along with the member book. So a lot of folks who write me or call me, they tell me, you know, I just stick in the CD on the way to work, and that's when I have time to think about these things. So we've tried to be sensitive to the audience in creating the product.
Well, that just makes sense. What are some of the key topics you've addressed in the book in terms of how to get people? Now, are you really trying to walk them through, you are busy, this is how to become not as busy, or are you trying to get them to understand, I guess, really what busyness is all about and how to avoid it to begin with?
I like them to, first of all, audit their life and see if busyness is really a problem. Most mm-hmm. of them already know that it is, and that's why they're doing the study. But
sure.
once we get past that, then it's a question of, why are you so busy? Why are you so hurried? Why is your life so frenetic? And here are some sort of biblical pathways out of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the whole issue of simplicity and how embracing a simpler lifestyle is a sort of counterbalance or an antidote, if you will, mm-hmm. to that lifestyle. We don't think about simplicity being a virtue. We don't think about it being a spiritual discipline. We don't think about it being a good way to live most of the time. You know, a lot of folks like to be busy and they like
sure.
to accomplish a lot. And, you know, that's what real success is to them
mm-hmm.
until they get to a point in life where they realize they've climb this ladder and it's leaning against the wrong building or something, right?
Wow.
So I think that identifying simplicity as a Christian virtue and as a potential antidote, a biblically based antidote to busyness, is something that some folks are going to find helpful.
Are people any busier today than they were, say, a couple decades ago?
In the United States, they are, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of studies done on this, and recently, the International Labor Organization, which is kind of an arm of the United Nations, they did a study on how many hours people work across all these industrialized countries, and the United States came out on top. We work about 2,000 hours a year
mm-hmm.
as compared to, in Great Britain and in Brazil, they work mm-hmm. 250 fewer hours per year than we do. That's more than 5 weeks fewer than we do. In Germany, they work 500 fewer hours than we do,
mm-hmm.
right? So, which is like 12, 13 weeks fewer
mm-hmm.
than in the United States. And so certainly relatively speaking, we're working a lot more than other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But even compared to ourselves a decade ago, 2 decades ago, the trend is to work more hours. So I think we're busier for those who work for pay. They're clearly doing more, and also even stay at home moms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more pressure to get your kids in more activities and have them do more things and keep up with the Joneses. And you know, as my neighbors have their kids in more activities, well, I need to do the same kinds of things. And so there's this escalating pressure to always be on the run, and it's just totally exhausting.
So technology hasn't made our lives a whole lot simpler then.
In a lot of ways, it's made it worse. But I'm a big fan of technology. I use
sure.
it all the time, and we're using it right now. And it's wonderful to get the message out this
right.
way. But at the same time, I don't think it's made our lives a whole lot simpler.
And what do you think is the number one mistake people make when it comes to effectively really organizing their obligations in life?
Well, it'd be easy to say we're too disorganized. You know, we need to organize our life better. We need to organize our time better. We need to organize our house better. And if we did that, we'd be more efficient. But, you know, we have so many things to manage these days that we become disorganized. And I mean, that's sort of an easy answer. But I think, again, the deeper problem is this notion of our self-worth being tied to our accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, we're overloaded. We're doing too many things. It's where we derive value and who we are and how great we are. It comes from being busy and overextended and from accomplishing things. So that would potentially be the number one problem, is mm-hmm. just having wrong perspective on what is success.
What does the Bible say about busyness? Just if you can encapsulate it easily.
It's hard to encapsulate easily. I mean, it's all over Scripture. But if you just look at biblical role models, you look at the life of Jesus, for example. How busy was he?
He did a lot of walking.
He did a lot of walking, you know, and he always had time for people. And it seems as you look closely at his life, and we do that in the Freedom from Busyness study. We use Jesus as a model, and we have other models in there too. Mm-hmm. He did embrace a simple lifestyle. That allowed him to have adequate time to be with his Father. That allowed him adequate time to be with his friends, mm-hmm. to teach people, to do the things that God really cares about.
To build the relationships that God had called him to build.
Exactly.
What kind of feedback have you received on the busyness study so far? I know you said some people listen to it in the car. They've told you that it's convenient for them. But what else are you hearing?
Well, I've not received a lot of feedback. I guess people are too busy to give me feedback. But the Lifeway folks tell me that it's been very positive feedback, that that folks are not only using it, but it's actually making a difference in their life. They're actually seeing things they hadn't seen before, and they're trying to put this busyness plan in place. In the product itself, mm-hmm. we walk people through a way to overcome their busyness by planning that through each of the studies, and they're finding that tool to be somewhat helpful as well.
How do you recommend people use your study? I mean, is it something you'd use on an individual basis or more of a class setting?
It's designed to be a small group study, but
okay.
I guess if I had to answer that in one word, I'd say that they should use the study devotionally. To make this a sacred activity, to really seek God through this study, not just to treat it as a pragmatic kind of thing where, all right, I have this time management problem, how can I overcome it? It's really about structuring your life, reordering your life around God and around God things. And so if they co-labor with God throughout the study, I think they're more likely to achieve real success with it than if they just try to treat it like another thing to do on their to-do list.
So with everything that you've got going on in your life, I'm assuming you've also got something else in the works. You're in Nashville today, from South Carolina, I believe. So what brings you here? What are you working on next?
I'm working on a project called, it's tentatively entitled Influencing Like Jesus. It's about how we can be more persuasive, how we can be more effective agents of change in every area of our life, whether it's speaking into the lives of our children, or being salt and light to our spouse, or in the workplace, being a change agent there, or whether it's living out the Great Commission, or, you know, with your students if you're a teacher, or, you know, with a jury if you're a lawyer, whatever context you find yourself in, if you want to be more of an influencer, if you believe God wants you to be a more effective change agent, well, that's what this product is designed to do, is to show you how to be more persuasive and show you how to use these tools in the same way that Jesus used them.
Sounds like you've taken some of what you teach as a professor in the business schools and really applied them to life in general. Is that sort of where you're going with this?
I think that's a fair statement. I'm a management professor. I teach management principles in different contexts, both to business students and sometimes to pastors and others. But mm-hmm. you know, you can apply those management principles to life, mm-hmm. to time management, for example. And we did so in the busyness study. And the leadership principles, you can apply those to influence and what have you. So, yeah, there is a bit of a bridge between what I do on a regular basis mm-hmm. At Charleston Southern University and what I'm writing about for Lifeway.
Well, Michael, I know that you're a busy man, so I appreciate you coming and being with us today.
I'm not nearly as busy as I used to be.
Well, and it sounds like you've taken your own advice, which is what we hope with these studies, right? But thank you so much for coming, and as you get some other projects out there, we hope you'll come back and see us at Inside Lifeway.
Thank you so much.
Inside Lifeway is a production of Lifeway's Corporate Communications Department. For the latest Lifeway news, to subscribe to our e-newsletter, or for media contact information, visit the online newsroom at www.lifeway.com/news.